Hello and welcome to the KMXT Weekly Wrap, where we go over this week's news from Alaska's Emerald Isle. I'm your host, Katherine Irving. On this week's episode, Kodiak fourth graders get their hands dirty during a salmon dissection. More about that story later, but first...
Support for KMXT comes from the Kodiak Area Native Association's Substance Use Treatment Team. Talk with your kids about drugs and tobacco. No matter how young children are, talking with them is one of the best things you can do to keep them drug and tobacco free. Learn more at kodiakhealthcare.org or 907-486-7380.
First up, Coast Guard Base Kodiak is still humming along, more than 50 days into a partial federal government shutdown. But as KMXT's Davis Hovey reports, it's not quite business as usual.
Signs of the prolonged shutdown are cropping up at the largest Coast Guard base in the country. There's a hiring freeze on all but a few specific positions on Base Kodiak. The local Coast Guard Exchange has partially cut its store hours short. Websites are going unmanaged, and the last time the base's Facebook feed was updated was February 26th. It says, quote, due to the lapse in federal funding, information on this social media site will not be actively managed, end quote, over an image with the base's motto, rock solid support. In an email, a Coast Guard headquarters spokesperson says, quote, the longer the shutdown lasts, the more difficult it will become for the Coast Guard to maintain mission readiness.
Every day the shutdown drags on moves us closer to a tipping point. And we know through experience, it will take us about 2.5 days to recover from every day we are in a shutdown.
That's Admiral Thomas Allen, the Vice Commandant of the Coast Guard, testifying to Congress last month. He says that for nearly half of this fiscal year, the Coast Guard has been without the necessary funding to pay its people and operate. For now, the Coast Guard's focus is on essential missions like search and rescue, maritime safety and security, and environmental response. Chris Burke is an inventory specialist for the Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak's Aviation Material Office. It's a civilian job, but one the Coast Guard says supports essential functions, and that Burke has to keep showing up for even when the agency doesn't have the money to pay him.
I'm working without pay. Not furloughed, I'm still working every day, but I'm just not being paid.
Other civilian employees whose jobs do not support essential functions were furloughed. The funding for Burke's position and many others across the entire Department of Homeland Security has been frozen since February 14th because Congress is in a budgeting stalemate. It's now the longest government shutdown on record.
If this continues on, I might have to look for other work.
From the outside looking in,
it seems very much business as usual when they're still expected to work, and yet they have not gotten paid for the duration of this shutdown.
Morgan Wombolt is married to an active duty member and is the president of the Coast Guard Spouses Association of Kodiak. She says active duty members are still getting paid, although the timing of each paycheck is uncertain.
However, I know from speaking with some of these people who haven't gotten paid, it's stressful. You know, it's stressful. Prices are going up. Whether that be gas, groceries, any of those types of things, they want to leave island, get off island, go travel, and now it's looking at the budget again.
The Coast Guard also has a mutual assistance program and various entities like the Chief Petty Officers Association that are providing financial and food assistance to members during the shutdown. Burke, the civilian employee, got his last full paycheck on February 13th. He says thankfully his wife works a full-time job, and before his civilian job, he retired from the active duty side of the Coast Guard after 25 years of service.
I have my retirement check coming. My spouse works. We're financially pretty set, getting by a month to month.
But other civilian employees cannot count on other paychecks in their households. The earliest the shutdown could end is expected to be after the U.S. House of Representatives returns from a break the week of April 13th. A bill to reopen and fund the Department of Homeland Security awaits congressional lawmakers. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Davis Hovey.
Last week, the Alaska legislature passed a resolution supporting the continued federal ban on Russian seafood being imported into the U.S. Lawmakers and seafood market experts say the ban is crucial to boosting the value of Alaska's industry. Representative Louise Stutz, a Kodiak Republican, is the chair of the State House Fisheries Committee, which is the body that sponsored the resolution. She says Alaska fishermen's ex-vessel value has increased over the last year in part because the ban has been in effect.
This year, prices were higher for their seafood because there is no more Russian seafood on the market.
The current ban on Russian seafood went into effect in 2022 during the Biden administration and was expanded in 2023. However, it's set to expire next week, according to the state resolution, unless President Donald Trump extends the executive order or Congress passes similar legislation to continue the ban. According to the state resolution, exports of Russian origin cod, pollock, and salmon were valued at over $450 million in the U.S. market in 2022, prior to the ban on Russian seafood going into effect. And since then, the state resolution asserts Russia has only increased its seafood production. Now, seafood markets say the stockpile of Russian fish that was flooding U.S. markets is starting to dwindle. Jeremy Woodrow is the executive director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, or ASME.
So we're experiencing growth in both value and volume in the U.S. domestic markets, and this is good for Alaska fishermen, our processors, and Alaska's economy.
He says the ban on Russian seafood in the U.S. has helped stabilize the market for Alaska seafood products.
If this ban were to be lifted, there is a strong chance that you'll see Russian products start entering back into the marketplace because it becomes at a cheaper rate. So these major buyers will shift their sourcing policies back to Russian seafood.
The Institute noted in its report earlier this year that the industry still faces other challenges beyond competing with Russian seafood, such as high operating costs and trade and tariff disruptions to the global markets. Additional measures to support Alaska seafood are currently being considered in Congress. That includes the Fish Act, which will ban fishing vessels that are caught illegally fishing from accessing U.S. ports and waters. Senator Dan Sullivan, the bill's co-sponsor, says this would target Chinese and Russian trawl vessels that are in competition with Alaska's fleet. Meanwhile, the legislature's resolution supporting the ban on Russian seafood is currently awaiting Governor Mike Dunleavy's signature. Stutz says she is very confident that the governor will sign the resolution. A new tourism business recently launched on Kodiak Island hopes to provide intimate cultural experiences for visitors this summer. Old Harbor Native Corporation formed subsidiary Alaska Nuna Adventures earlier this year. According to the company's website, potential tours in Kodiak include meet and greets with Aleutic dancers and artisans, an Aleutic cooking demonstration, and an intimate conversation with an Aleutic elder. Serena Gron is the Kodiak operations manager for the corporation. She says the company will start by offering walking tours for visitors coming off Kodiak's first cruise ship of the season later this month.
We have the tour set up to run cruisers to Fort Abercrombie, so all of that is good to go. We have the permitting from the state, and two of our vans are here, our buses, and we have drivers, and we're working out the schedule for that day specifically.
Gron says part of the reason the corporation created Alaska Nuna Adventures is to fill a gap in the local tourism industry. She says it can be hard to find culturally immersive Aleutic experiences in Kodiak outside of the Aleutic Museum.
In the past, I know it was kind of always Kodiak on your own, so the tourists had to navigate, you know, where to really get the culture, and there was nothing really ever set up for like an intimate activity where they learn the beading and why the beading was done that way in the Aleutic culture.
Alaska Nuna Adventures will also offer cultural tours in the community of Old Harbor, which is about 70 miles north of Kodiak. Old Harbor is slated to host at least two cruise ships this summer, according to Gron. These are smaller excursion cruises that are expected to bring a few hundred passengers to the village rather than a few thousand to Kodiak. The CEO of Old Harbor Native Corporation is Christina Wilson. She said in a press release that this new company is an investment in, quote, a future where cultural tourism is led by our people, rooted in our values, and built to benefit our community for generations, end quote. In the meantime, Alaska Nuna Adventures is hiring multiple bus drivers and tour guides with the goal of having a total of 30 staff this summer. Gron says in June, the company will also hold a tour guide training in Old Harbor, similar to the one OHNC held in Kodiak last week. Next up, the Orpheum Theater has been a fixture in downtown Kodiak for more than 85 years, and it's the community's only movie theater. But that could be about to change as the owners get ready to put the theater up for sale. I attended one of the Orpheum's clear-out sales this week, and I have this report.
$20. We're here 30, $20. We're here 30, $20. We're here 30. Guess it's yours for $20.
Yes.
Goodbye. Kodiak locals gather in the Orpheum Theater ready to bid on a selection of old movie posters.
How about $5? Somebody want this for $5? $5! You got it. Yeah, this is a nice one.
The theater owners are hoping to sell off the entire collection, which numbers in the thousands. But during the hour-long sale, they only sold a few dozen. Jerry Ford Roberts runs the Orpheum with longtime owner John Rusty Fletcher. She says she was disappointed in the turnout.
But as you can tell tonight, the crowd's very small. People just don't get out that much anymore.
She says the poster sale is part of a larger effort to clear house. As for why...
We're downsizing, getting ready to put the theater on the market.
According to reporting from the Kodiak Daily Mirror, the Orpheum opened before 1940, when it was run by Fletcher's parents. Fletcher was not at the sale and couldn't be reached for comment, but Roberts says Fletcher wants to retire and move on to something new. The local theater's closing comes as ticket sales across North America have plummeted by more than 30% since 2020. That same year, 2020, the Orpheum closed and posted a GoFundMe asking for funds to save the theater. At the time, they cited the pandemic, rising movie prices, and the harsh winter as reasons for their financial struggles. Lindsay Knight was the auctioneer for the Orpheum's poster sale and an avid fan of the theater for years. He says he's noticed the lower attendance.
I remember waiting in line and waiting for the whole movie to play to get into the next one. But that's how movies used to be. But I don't know. I don't see it like that anymore. I've been here. Me and my friend might be the only two here on a Sunday afternoon.
The theater announced on Facebook last month that it would not be showing a movie on April 1st and has since extended that hiatus past April 10th. The theater's business license expired at the end of last year. As for who might buy the theater, Roberts says they have a few options lined up. She says she thinks the theater could be a great opportunity for the right person.
We're really interested in people who wants to keep it as a movie theater.
Others, like Knight, are a little more pessimistic about the building's future. He says he's worried, considering the building's prime location near the marketplace and the mall, that it will end up being converted to another retail location. As the poster auction ends and people start filing out of the room, Knight speaks with one of the bidders, who bought a majority of the posters. He says he's been coming to the theater for over 40 years and is sad that it might soon come to an end. Knight is in agreement.
Yeah, it is an institution, and you just hate to see it go away.
Roberts says she hopes to get back to airing movies sometime in the next few weeks. Knight says that if people want to support the theater, they should come out to the poster auctions and to go to the movies while they still can. Reporting in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving. Next up, the fourth graders at Kodiak's Main Elementary School got their hands dirty during a salmon dissection earlier this week. Biologists at the Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association, who ran the dissection, say it's an important way for kids to connect with their local hatcheries. Here's my reporting for KMXT.
No, what part is this?
Liver.
No, that's liver.
Liver.
The cafeteria at Main Elementary School smells unusually fishy on Monday afternoon. Plastic sheets cover the tables instead of lunch boxes, and instead of tasty snacks, Main Elementary's fourth graders hold salmon organs. The offending organ is part of a class dissection under a program called Salmon in the Classroom. This program isn't unique to Kodiak or even to Alaska. State agencies like the Department of Fish and Game make Salmon in the Classroom curriculum available to schools across the country. In Kodiak, where the program is run by KRAA, the program has been going on for over a decade.
I'm happy they're still doing it because when I went here, we also did a salmon dissection in the classroom in fourth grade.
That's Jeressa Reyes, a graduate of the Kodiak school system and an aide for some of the kids in this fourth grade class. She says watching these kids do the same dissection she did is a very full circle moment. Some kids are excited to share everything they know about salmon. Others are a little less jazzed.
I just don't like them because whenever I see something get dissected, I puke.
The insides, they gross me out.
Another big part of the months-long Salmon in the Classroom program is that the students get to raise baby salmon. KRAA sends over salmon eggs, which the teachers are in charge of incubating and then caring for. The kids get to watch the eggs grow up into fry over several months, then they will release them back into the wild. Amy Arneson is a fourth grade teacher at Maine who is helping run the salmon program. Standing next to the salmon tank, she says the program has been a great hands-on experience for the kids.
For them, seeing the process and everything makes it so much more real. Like, I'm just reading about it isn't quite the same as when they get to see it and notice, like, oh yeah, look at them using their swim bladders. Look, they do look like little toddlers trying to learn how to walk.
But that's not the only way the kids can connect to the salmon they raise. Kyle Wolliver, the research manager at KRAA, explains to the students how hatcheries can identify their fish when they're harvested.
These are called otoliths. They're the ear bones, and we put marks on them
just like this, like with this changing the water temperature, and that's the barcode to say where the fish came from.
Just like hatchery fish, the salmon the kids are raising at school have specific markings on their ear bones. So if a Maine fourth grader catches one of their salmon in the wild years down the line, they'll be able to tell it was theirs, according to KRAA biologist Tina Weaver.
And they'll even have the chance maybe to go back to the beach, Mill Bay, and catch them when they return back. So it's pretty cool that they get the chance to see the entire life cycle.
In Kodiak, hatcheries accounted for nearly 30% of the total salmon catch in 2025. The class will release their 250 salmon fry, if they all survive, that is, one by one into Island Lake in just over a month. They will eventually become food for other animals, part of a fisherman's catch of the day, or nutrients for forests and streams. Reporting from Maine Elementary School in Kodiak, I'm Catherine Irving.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide or experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, 988 provides connection to free, confidential support. There is hope. The Lifeline works. For 24/7 confidential support, just call, text, or chat 988. This message is brought to you by the Kodiak Area Native Association.
If you enjoy this podcast, make sure to subscribe to us on Spotify. Our staff put together KMXT stories every week to help you keep up to date on the archipelago's latest news. And that's it for this week's edition of KMXT's Weekly Wrap. Again, I'm Catherine Irving. We'll be back next week. Thanks for tuning in.